All of us know that we're supposed to help the poor, but the question is, how are we supposed to help them? Ask people what we should do, and you'll probably get answers ranging from let them fend for themselves to give them everything, including free health care, unlimited food stamps, and government housing, as well as all points in between. People's answers will be based, or maybe I should say biased, on their ideologies, emotions, personal experiences, and agendas. Man can't be trusted to make his own laws or establish guidelines for helping others. That's why, to be sure we're doing everything in a proper way, a way that truly helps and does not hurt, we must turn to Scripture. So the first step is to list the verses in the Bible that deal with the poor. Those in the law, that's in the Old Testament, and those in the New Testament that restate and in some cases clarify the law. Now this list does not include every single verse that simply mentions the word poor. These are the verses that deal with how to give to the poor. The problem with taking only one verse without its full context is you'll never follow exactly what the Lord meant to do. It's kind of analogous to you having no idea what a football or a football game is. And the Lord walks out and hands you a football, and he goes, play a football game. You would stand there holding this oblong-looking ball, not having a clue what to do. Unfortunately, this is what a lot of Christians do. They just take the ball from the Lord, and they just start running around doing whatever they feel like. Well, that's not playing a football game, folks. That's just a free-for-all. Without understanding the meaning behind the game and the rules that govern the game, it's impossible to play a football game. And if you take just a simple command from the Lord, feed the poor, take care of the poor, without understanding the meaning behind that or the rules that govern that, you're going to be throwing money out there with no purpose behind it. That's not what we're supposed to do. Far too many Christians live their lives this way. They grab onto one verse and without any understanding of the purpose behind that verse, they just proceed to do whatever they think they're supposed to do. And that's why so many of us have no idea how we're supposed to take care of the poor. When people talk about, is healthcare a right or a privilege, there's far too many Christians who don't know how to answer that. And if they answer it one way and people start attacking them, they back down because they feel, uh-oh, maybe I'm wrong. What we need to know is, what does the Bible say in its totality? What are all of the rules? And not just the rules, but the meaning behind the rules. What is the purpose of helping the poor? Is it just to hand them whatever, or is it to teach them something? These verses that I'm listing aren't just commandments. We already know that. That's a given. We know we're supposed to help them. But how? We can't just take the football from the Lord and just run around the yard with no purpose or no rules. That's not playing a game. We're going to learn from this list purpose and the rules behind helping the poor. So here are the verses in order that they appear in the Bible that deal with the poor. Now they're going to be paraphrased. You can open up your Bible and read exactly what these verses say, word for word. I'm just going to give you the quick paraphrase of the meaning behind these verses. So here we go. Exodus 22, verses 22 through 24. Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. Exodus 22, 25. Do not charge interest to someone who is needy. Exodus 23, verse 3. Do not show favoritism to a poor man in court. Exodus 23, verse 6. Do not deny justice to the poor. Leviticus 19, verses 9 and 10. Do not gather everything from your field, but leave some for the poor and the foreigner. Deuteronomy 24, 12. Do not keep the pledge of a poor person overnight. Deuteronomy 24, 14 and 15. Do not oppress a poor or needy hired man, whether he is a citizen or a foreigner, but pay him his wages at the end of the day. Deuteronomy 24:17, do not pervert the judgment of the foreigner or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. Deuteronomy 24:19 through 22, when you harvest your field and leave a sheaf, do not go back for it. When you harvest your olives, don't go over the tree again. Leave these for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Deuteronomy 15:7 through 11, if a poor man is in need, lend him money without saying in your heart that the year for canceling debt approaches, so I'm not going to give to him. Lend to him anyways. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 12. Whoever doesn't work, doesn't eat. Everyone has earned the bread they eat. 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 16. This is a section that deals with what widows are to be taken care of and who are to take care of them. Now, these are all the verses. Some of these you might wonder why they're in here. I'm simply including every single rule. And if you look at them, most of them apply today. Maybe not necessarily allowing people to go into your field, but I'm going to go over everything and why they're included in this section. All right, let's start off here. There are four questions we should ask when it comes to helping the poor. One, are we to pay taxes to a government and let that government redistribute the money to the poor as they see fit? It's true that Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But remember that the Jews were trying to trap Jesus in that question that they asked him, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And the Jews had forsaken their God centuries ago and were now under the rule of another nation, in this case the Romans. We in America do not have a Caesar, but unfortunately we have a whole lot of politicians who think they are. Nonetheless, there is no place anywhere in God's law that allows others to tax us or redistribute our money to the poor, or anyone else for that matter, based on their ideologies and political agendas. Two, is a welfare system endorsed by the Bible? Absolutely not. Look back at the answer to the first question. If God's law does not call for any taxes nor any federal government, and actually if you read the Bible, Israel was not set up under a federal government. They were given one set of laws for all of them to live under, but their governments were to be set up on local levels only. So, let's restate that. If God's law does not call for any taxes nor any federal government, how could a system of public housing, food stamps, and free medical care be set up? The intention of welfare may have started off as a way of helping those in need, but for the most part, it has turned into little more than wealth redistribution and a way to buy votes. Giving out freebies does nothing to promote a work ethic, and it can cause great harm. In just about any city in America, where's the highest crime rate? Public housing. There are two main reasons for this. First, free or low-cost government housing is going to be a magnet for those who want to spend their time victimizing others. Working very little or not having to work at all to pay for rent or food gives people lots of free time to commit crime. Now, I didn't say everyone living in public housing is a victimizer. I said it was a magnet for victimizers to come and live in these places. Second, as the old saying goes, idle hands are the devil's helpmates. Even those who don't plan on hurting others often do, because being idle allows for sinful pleasures to move to the forefront of people's minds. Idle time allows for excessive alcohol and drug use, which are two of the biggest factors that trigger problems in public housing. Many of those born into this way of life fall into the same trap and a never-ending cycle of reliance upon welfare is created. Sexual immorality and out-of-wedlock birth rates only add to this problem. Three, should all recipients of aid be required to work? Once again, let's turn to Scripture. The Lord told the story of a poor beggar named Lazarus who, covered in sores, was laid outside the rich man's gate to beg. If this man had to be laid at the gate, obviously he couldn't walk. And since he was covered in sores, he probably had some disease or paralysis that made it difficult or impossible to move, resulting in sores developing all over his body. Lazarus eventually died, and Scripture says he was taken by the angels to Abraham's side. Scripture doesn't say if this story is rooted in truth or if it's simply a fictitious story to teach a lesson, but that doesn't matter. Either way, it shows a man unable to work, forced to beg, and yet still going to heaven. It's not a sin to be poor or beg if you are unable to work. But what about those who can work? How does Scripture instruct us to deal with these people? Exodus 22:25 says, "Do not charge interest to someone who is poor." Have you ever read about check-cashing businesses and how much interest they charge to advance money to poor people? Or what about the interest paid by poor people using credit cards? One of the reasons people can't get out of poverty is the amount of money charged to them by people taking advantage of their situation. What about many buy-here, pay-here car lots and appliance stores? Same thing. These practices are absolutely forbidden by God, and it's time to put an end to those who are taking advantage of the poor. This is wealth redistribution in reverse. And this redistribution is happening to those who can least afford it. Leviticus 19:9 and 10 says, "Do not gather everything from your field, but leave some for the poor and alien." Deuteronomy 24:19 through 22 says, "When you harvest your field and leave a sheaf, don't go back for it. When you harvest your olive trees, don't go over the tree again. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow." Now, an interesting point needs to be learned from these verses. It's true that we're to provide food for the poor, but we're not to hand it to them. These verses clearly say, leave some of the produce in the fields and on the trees, and let the poor come out and gather it themselves. And that doesn't mean giving the poor food stamps and letting them pick the food off the store shelves. When writing to the Thessalonians, this was 2 Thessalonians 3:6 through 15, Paul said for the brethren to stay away from any brother who didn't walk in the way Paul had taught them. Paul had written to them that he and his companions did not eat any man's bread, but they worked night and day and supplied their own needs. Now, this wasn't because they didn't have the right to have the brethren support them, but because they wanted to be an example to all the people that they should work for their own food. He told the Thessalonians that when they were with them, they had commanded the Thessalonians that if any man wouldn't work, neither would he eat. He goes on to write that they had heard that some among the people were not working at all, but were busybodies. Think about some of the riots we've had in Ferguson, Baltimore, and Milwaukee. You know, I was amazed how many people would come out until the camera panned over these people. And all I saw mostly were young people. I'm thinking, okay, this makes total sense. What, were these kids sleeping in till noon every day? Still living in mommy and daddy's house? Having mommy wash their clothes? This is the problem with people who don't work. They have way too much time on their hands. Now, Paul continued on, and he was talking about these people who were idle and busybodies. Paul said, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Then he continues in verse 13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. But don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Unfortunately, in some of these protests, didn't we also see people who claimed to be Christians out there, calling themselves reverend or whatever, in the middle of all this mess? The Bible says if they go out, but they are joining the busybodies and acting like the busybodies and the idle, have nothing to do with them. When you see Christians out there do nothing but spread gossip, taking all the time to create ill will among the people, have nothing to do with them. Now, don't treat them as an enemy. You're doing this to shame them, so that hopefully they change and repent. Welfare breeds laziness and contempt. Contempt for work and contempt for those who do work. The attitude of they owe me is rampant among those who are idle. And I'm not talking about the working poor. I'm talking about those who don't work at all. So what Paul wrote is exactly what we should be doing to those who can work but don't. Have nothing to do with them to shame them. Do this out of love, not hate. To move them to become self-sustaining. If they don't take heed and still won't work, then as the Bible says, neither should he eat. 4. Should there be restrictions on those who receive help? Yes. You just heard what Paul said about not having anything to do with the lazy brother, that we should help those who cannot help themselves, like the crippled beggar or the children who are fatherless.
But what about those who can work? Should we help them? Yes.
Not by paying their way, but by giving them assistance. We're talking loans and tools, as well as opportunities to earn their own way. Now, what about widows? Yes, we're to help widows. But this may surprise you. Not all widows. And I want to stop real quick and make this point. The Bible talks about widows, not widowers. No able-bodied man is to receive a handout. Tools and loans? Absolutely. Nothing free. You know those people on the side of the road holding signs that say, we'll work for food? Uh-uh. You want to give them something? You give them an application. As we stated before, the law said that people were to leave food in the fields and the orchards and let the poor gather it for themselves. Now, if you remember what the law said, that included widows, meaning that even the widows are to physically work to get their food. Now, of course, in today's society, we're not as reliant upon growing and gathering our food as they were in the biblical times. But just as God wrote the laws to be precedents, so are his commands on how to help the poor. Although most widows today would not actually go out into a field or orchard to gather their food, these commands are precedents that say they are still to perform some physical task, if they are able, to earn their meals. The command against laziness applies to all people, including widows. When a widow cried out to Elisha that her son was going to be taken away to pay for her dead husband's debt, Elisha told her to go to her neighbor's and get as many jars as she could. Then he told her to go inside, shut the door, and start pouring oil into the jars. She did. When the last jar was filled, the oil stopped flowing. He then told her to sell the oil and pay off the debt and to live off of what was left. The Lord provided a miracle. keeping the oil flowing until all the jars were filled. But he didn't send it while the widow sat around. She did all of the physical work needed to get everything ready, filled the jars, then took them and sold the oil. The Lord will indeed provide, and he has called on us to do the same. But all the work that can be done by the widow in need is to be done by her, not others. Another law says, do not take a widow's cloak as a pledge. What this command is saying is that we are not to take anything that a widow needs to survive as collateral. This applies to anyone giving her a loan, including banks. As we read in 1 Timothy, Paul is writing concerning which widows are to be helped. Verse 4 says, if a widow has children or nephews, they are to take care of her, not those outside of her family. Verse 5 says, a widow who is truly in need and left alone puts her faith in God. But the widow who lives for pleasure is already dead. So we are to serve the Lord by helping the widow who has placed her faith in God. The widow who lives for pleasure is not to be helped, because she is already spiritually dead. Verse 8 talks about if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we should see to it that this person is called out and provides for his immediate family. If he still refuses to provide for them, then we may have to step in. But we should take whatever steps that are within the law to see that he provides for his family members who are in need. Verses 9 and 10 states that no widow may be put on the list for help unless she is at least 60 years old and has had but one husband. She must be known for her good works, including raising children, being hospitable to strangers, washing the feet of saints, helping the afflicted, and diligently performing good works. Verses 11 through 13 says no younger widow is to be put on the list, because when her desire for a husband grows strong, she'll abandon her faith in Christ and instead get married. Thus she'll bring judgment on herself because she has broken her first faith, meaning the Lord, who has been providing for her. Also, young women learn to be idle and wander from house to house, spreading gossip and sticking their nose into other people's business. Now, some of these verses may sound a little bit strange to you, such as having only one husband and washing the feet of saints and things like that. Remember when these verses were written and the culture it was written in. Not too many people today actually get down on their hands and knees and wash other people's feet. We have cars to drive in. We don't walk through the desert anymore and have filthy feet that need washed. Again, look at these verses for the context. These widows that were to help were to be good people. They were to be the ones who provided for their family, who helped others, the widows who put others before themselves. That's what it's talking about. And even today, when you talk about the younger women, well, unfortunately some of the older women too, but definitely the younger women, look at all the social media today. Look at all the bullying and gossiping and all the horrible things that go on social media today. This is what the Bible's talking about. These are not the people we're to help. We are not to provide for them, which means they don't have to work, to give them time to sin against others. This is how we're supposed to help the poor. Again, some of these verses may seem a little strange because they were written 2,000 years ago. The laws were written 3,000 years ago. So don't get caught up in some of the wording of these verses. Look at the context. Apply them to society today, to the culture today, and you can see that overall, all of these things still completely apply. These alone are how we're to deal with the poor. No, we're not to give them free medical care. They're to earn it. For the one, like the poor beggar, who's covered in sores, help that person out. No able-bodied man is to get free medical care. No able-bodied man is to get free anything. Loan to him, give him the tools, give him opportunity. Do not hand him money. Even the women, 60 years of age and older. No young woman is to be given welfare or free housing. That's not our problem that she has babies. Can we help the baby? Sure. Can we set up daycare? Absolutely. Can we give the baby, the child, medical care? Sure. Are we to hand the woman a free place to live because she was immoral? No. What did the verse say? Relatives are to help her. We as society do not have an obligation to help these people. It is very limited in who we help. Widows, 60 years of age or older, who have been good people. Orphans, they have no parents. And the Bible says at 20 years of age and older, they were considered men. They were considered adults. Young women at 20, you're an adult. Not 18 as we have it in this country. 20. And we're to help the other people this way in terms of giving them the opportunity. Do not cheat them with high interest rates. but give them a chance to make their own way. Welfare needs to be stopped. There is no free health care. There is no free government handout, whether it be housing or food stamps. If we do give people food, they're to earn it. I don't care if they're on the side of the road picking up trash. They're to earn the bread they eat. It's time we start applying these laws to how we deal with the poor. And it's time for we as Christians to stop being intimidated when people try to call us haters because we don't back laziness. Stand your ground, folks. That's why I gave you the verses in the very beginning. You can go over them over and over and over. Keep replaying it. This is how we are to help the poor. In these ways and no other.
I know this has been a long segment, but I want to leave you with a true story. A few years ago, I was, I believe, at a gas station, and I started speaking to this young lady. She had just gotten out of the military, and because she didn't have a lot of money, and she didn't have family members who could help her, she was forced to move into one of the projects that were close by to where we were. She told me just how bad it was, gunshots all the time, and crime, and drugs, and she couldn't wait to get out of there. Some people might look at that and say, see, she needed to be in the projects. This is why we have to have government housing to help these people. No. What you should understand is we are wasting billions, tens of billions of dollars on lazy people. And here's a young lady who served her country, who earned the bread she ate. And she did not make enough money in the military to have saved enough up so she would have a cushion between the time she left the military and the time she could find a job. We are not paying our military people enough money. We have a $20 trillion debt, and the people who truly earn their way aren't being paid what they should be. Also, we should be giving these people interest-free loans to help them out. So the next time you're standing in line at a grocery store and you see a woman with 5 children, 2 cartloads of food, and she pays for it with food stamps, or you drive through the projects and you see a whole lot of able-bodied young men sitting around drinking 40 ounces at 11 o'clock in the morning, you think of this girl. This is what happens when we don't follow the Lord's commands about who the truly poor are and how we're to take care of them. When we leave it up to man to decide, the mess we're in is the exact result we get.